Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
It's a football Friday. Happy holidays. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike Glute and Dane Martinez. Taking you around the world in the NFL. It's FST. And we got a couple of games tomorrow. We'll get into those. Titans, Washington. Titans with a home game there. Dean, I need that one.
Yeah, I'm starting the Titans defense in a Super Bowl for myself.
And then Ravens at Chargers tomorrow night. So we'll get into those games. Specifically, a big addition to the Chargers. Looks like Melvin Gordon's back.
Yeah,
so for those
him.
Of you playing in your Super Bowls, that's probably, yeah, if you're facing him, that ain't good news. But if you are playing him, it's good news. It's not an easy game for Melvin Gordon. We don't know how much he'll go. I would suspect that if he's good to go, he's good to go. Like 25 touches, good to go. That's, I have to assume that. I am of the opinion that you would have to play him. I know it's the Ravens and all that, but guy's versatile enough that he can get it done against anybody. So that's good news. Now,
and he was your first-round draft pick, probably, if you own him.
Hell yeah, he was in our league where we have him, Dane. We got bounced out of the playoffs last week, but that's a bummer. I had three leagues where I thought I had a shot, and I got bounced in the semis in all three of them. So it is what it is. I heard you're in a couple. I know Scotty's in a whole bunch. So good luck to those of you out there. Obviously, hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. I'm at Mike Blewett. I'll be answering questions through the weekend. Do not tweet at me on Sunday mornings. It's just not a good time for me to answer those questions.
You're at work.
Like, hey, man, you're doing fantasy football. It's like, yes, I am, but I'm on air, so I can't.
Right. Why don't you just put something up, like, right before you go on air, be like, don't at me. In fact, just call 844-843-6879, something like that.
Probably should. We don't end up taking collectively that many calls over the course of the three-hour show.
But direct them to the YouTube chat or something.
From 10 to 1. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I should have talked to you 3 months ago. Anyway,
yeah, it's okay.
It's not like I don't talk to you almost every day. So so there you go. Melvin Gordon back. That's big news. If you're a James Conner owner, you're not feeling great. And the other
ones are
Keenan Allen, Odell Beckham. You know, those are key guys. He was working off to the side, but he was not looking good to suit up this Sunday. Is Keenan Allen playing tomorrow? He's improved
decision.
And ready at practice this week, but I think you're going to – would you play him tomorrow if they say he's good to go? You got to put him out there, right?
Yes. But you hear the tone of my voice when saying that, right? Like, because here would be my fear. If you tell me he plays the entire game, then I got to run him out there. My fear would literally be something like he starts the game but doesn't finish it. And I have a similar fear for Joe Mixon.
Yeah. The tough part for the Chargers situation, too, is that now you see Mike Williams explode. And all those Mike Williams owners are going to want to play him. But we've seen him firmly in the background when Keenan Allen is out there. You add Melvin Gordon to the mix, and Mike Williams might see like three targets. Like, it won't be worth it at all. So so that's going to be a tricky part with the Chargers tomorrow night.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And then there's also this idea of to what extent, you know, we don't know the exact, like, it's a continuum, right? We don't know the exact level of health. And then when you put the overlay of the Chargers also having a future and maybe wanting to lose the battle to win the war kind of thing as it relates to Keenan Allen, you know, like, what's his health and what's their kind of conservativeness, if that's a word, you know, and what it relates. And what does that mean also in-game if he has any level of re-aggravation?
It isn't a word, but that's okay. I like that you tried it. So, yeah, so the Chargers are in a difficult spot insofar as they are, look, they're still playing for a one seed.
Yeah.
But they're not the one seed. And if the Chiefs win their last two games, they can't be the one seed. So to lose the battle to win the war, I get it. But, man, it would be really helpful if they had that bye in a couple of weeks. So I think they're going to roll guys out there. If they say they can go, I think they're going to roll them out there. And you're right, it may put them at risk long term. But hopefully Keenan Allen's thing isn't as serious, which they seem to have downplayed, and Melvin Gordon is recovered at this point. I would be thinking about sitting Melvin Gordon, but then Eckler is gone. And
yeah, it'll be dead Justin Jackson stuff again.
Yeah, which isn't such a bad thing. But anyway, so that's it on the quick injury updates. The big news, obviously, and the big story of the day is Josh Gordon being suspended indefinitely by the NFL. And some of you say, well, he hasn't been that big a factor in the NFL. And I get that. But he had, you know, 11 games this season, 40 catches for 720 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think he was becoming an integral piece of the New England offense despite its struggles. I thought Josh Gordon was an important piece. And now he's gone with Gronk hurt. And Edelman clearly always the primary target. It does impact them in some way. Maybe Chris Hogan can step back into his role that he grabbed a couple of years ago in the playoffs against the Steelers. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to tackle this discussion. I would just set it up for you by saying it's a policy. It's in place. Everybody has to abide by it. So I can't criticize the NFL for saying, look, we've given this guy multiple chances and he still can't live up to it. But I actually think it's a pretty unique situation here, and I'm not suggesting that Josh Gordon should play by different rules than everybody else. But I do think, considering where we are in the discussion about marijuana and its legalization and where we are in discussion about mental health, I think that this could be a unique scenario where the NFL adapts or changes the policy moving forward. So go ahead.
You know what, Mike? I agree with you on a number of levels. One, I agree with you that we could talk about this from a Josh Gordon standpoint, from a Patriot standpoint, from an NFL policy standpoint, and from a straight calculating and cold fantasy football standpoint, right? But we'll try and go one at a time. I also completely agree with you, Mike, that the NFL has a certain reputation about how they care about their players or not, and this presents to be quite honest, in my opinion, like a low-hanging fruit kind of opportunity, you know, to just wrap their arms around this player who has been very public, you know, in a lot of ways about the mental health, about the suspensions, that sort of stuff. And they have an opportunity to set a precedent to be a kinder, gentler NFL. And I think it's an interesting idea. I don't think it'll ever happen, right? But I do think that there is this opportunity. And because the NFL is usually inconsistent or flat out tone deaf on this stuff, they are not going to take the opportunity. And that's unfortunate. I do appreciate Josh Gordon, you know, this idea of him going away to take care of his mental health. You say in entertainment, we see this a lot more right now. The conversation is there. In sports, we hear with like Kevin Love and other players that are being, you know, transparent about mental health or depression or that sort of thing. And so, yes, we are in this point in society, right, where it's not as marginalized. It's demystified on some level. And so that is what I think creates this opportunity. I just, you know, I want to wish, you know, that Josh Gordon does whatever he needs to do and is, you know, gets himself where he needs to be. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, sound cold about that, shall we say, right? And, yes, there is this policy, and they have an opportunity to kind of show the NFL, show that they actually do care. They're not going to take it, unfortunately. For the Patriots, I think you're right. I think he was developing into a role, and we say this all the time, Blewett, the idea that sometimes players are better for their real-life NFL team than they are for their fantasy team. And Josh Gordon, I think, is a perfect example of that.
I agree with that.
He was playing that niche of going down the field. You do have to, defenses have to respect Josh Gordon, right? And that opens it up even for a 70% Gronk or an Edelman over the middle of the field, right? So I think that is an issue. The last thing I'll say on a pure cold fantasy football side of this, I'm sorry, people, but I told you so. Like in the preseason, when it was even on Hard Knocks and he needed to like take 3 weeks, I'm saying on the one side, the man should have that opportunity, okay? This is real and valid. But what I was also saying is you can't trust him for fantasy purposes. I literally said on air, what happens when in week 13 he decides he needs to walk away again? And here we are now in your championships, and that's what's happening with the suspension and, of course, the his mental health issues.
Yeah, I think from a fantasy standpoint, you were taking a risk there. You knew it. You were hoping that Josh Gordon would explode, whether it was with the Browns, and then later when he was with the Patriots, I think he provided some value from a fantasy football standpoint, but he was always a wide receiver three flex, really a flex consideration from a week-to-week basis.
But what's the NFL going to do, Blewett, when, like, you know, I don't know how many states NFL teams are out of the 50. You know what I mean? Maybe they are in like 27 states, let's say, something like that. What are they going to do when out of those 27 states, 21 of them are legal, you know, marijuana is legal?
I mean, we're getting
there. Like, that's going to be the case in like a year or two, right?
We're getting pretty close. There's an article on Pro Football Talk by Mike Florio discussing the possibility of marijuana testing being part of the next collective bargaining agreement and potentially altering or dropping it. Now, the interesting thing about the drug policy, and you know what, a couple of years ago, Dana, I read the NFL drug policy cover to cover just to get a better sense.
Reading for your commute?
just because it kept coming up. And I think it was maybe related to Josh Gordon a few years ago, and it just kept coming up, and I wanted a better understanding of it. You know, the reality is, for somebody like Josh Gordon, he gets tested regularly. Once you are in the program, you are tested on a pretty regular basis. And that's, you get in the program by flagging yourself with an initial positive test, which the public generally does not find out
Doesn't even know about, right.
So there are many guys in the program right now that just get tested more regularly, and you don't hear anything about it because they don't test positive again. The reality is, for players that have never tested positive, here's the policy. You get tested one time between April and August.
It's an idiot test.
So that means don't smoke weed between April and August. A lot of guys say, screw it. I'll take my chances. I'll use something to flush my system when the time comes. But it's, to your point, let's just make sure this guy's not a complete bonehead and doesn't mess around. So that's the drug policy. They're obviously testing for steroids, and they're testing for marijuana during that and other illicit drugs. So there's that.
The NFL has such opportunity to get ahead of this, right? And also be an advocate and a champion for holistic pain management. We see these guys that get, you know, addicted to painkillers later on in their lives. You know, you see all these retired players, you know, having sensitivity to light and anger issues, and are literally, like Kyle Turley, former offensive lineman for the Saints, among others, are huge advocates for this now, you know? It's like, we know where this is going. The science is there and real, especially with, say, like CBD over THC. Like, the NFL has an opportunity to champion this on some level, and they're really missing the boat here.
Yeah, that's absolutely another tentacle of this discussion. And clearly, Dane and I, inside of a 12-minute discussion, aren't going to solve all of this.
Sure.
I just think it's interesting to talk about, because I think there's something there potentially for the NFL to help him along. Now, I'll say also, maybe the NFL isn't the best place for Josh Gordon. It's a pressure cooker lifestyle. He's a uniquely talented guy who can make a lot of money doing it, but he's obviously struggled. He's open about his mental health struggles. He is open about his struggles with substance abuse. It doesn't mean to be like, you know what, Josh, thanks for being honest. Come right back on the field. He violated the policy. The policy is the policy, and the NFL can live by it. I just wonder, as we get to, and this isn't going to happen overnight, as we get to the next collective bargaining agreement, as we work through this Josh Gordon scenario, I wonder if the discussions will become more real, as you're saying, in terms of lightening the policy or championing guys with mental health issues. Don't forget, we are dealing right now with something that's a significant issue in America, also, in terms of the NFL, Everson Griffin earlier this year missed a month or five games to deal with a significant mental health issue. I was stunned that he came back at all, but he was dealing with what seemed like, and forgive me for not knowing exactly what he's diagnosed with, but bipolar tendencies or manic or depressive tendencies. So I do think that on some level, the NFL gets bashed a lot, Dane. I think on some level, they're trying here with the mental health component.
But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Right? Like, and I don't know, you know, the details of people's struggles, right? And everything, everybody is different, right? But if you're a human being in that situation, you know, like, you know, when athletes have injuries and they talk about how part of the hardest part of the rehab was like being away from the team, that it was lonely, that it was depressing to toil in the wave pool by themselves at 5 a.m. Now apply that to a guy that has mental health issues or something, you know, like, My common sense or knee-jerk reaction is, shouldn't he be around a community of peers and whatever family affinity group he has? And wouldn't that be like staying with the team instead of being kind of like cast aside into the margins? You know, I think that's like even adding to the risk for a guy that has mental health. Like, shouldn't we wrap our arms around him and keep the circle tight around these people, especially if there's risk or concern?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. Like I said, I don't know that the NFL is the best place for Josh Gordon for the rest of his life in order to keep things together. I don't know that.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times when we're talking about this or guys that are charged with various crimes, particularly domestic violence crimes, there's a lot of sounding of the drum like, hey, everybody deserves a second chance in America. I get it, and I agree with that. But it doesn't have to be in the NFL. Your second chance. It's the only thing I would say.
Sure.
I know I'm bouncing around to different topics, but I don't think your second chance has to be in the NFL. Josh has had multiple chances, and I don't want to cast him aside. I think my overarching point in this, as I use that word too many times, is that I think...
At least it's actually a word. My conservativeness was not.
So I like that. I think I like that better. So what the... I think, personally... If the NFL suspends Gordon and he's gone for indefinitely and he applies for reinstatement in a year and we see him back on the field in the 2020 season when he's 29 years old, I think that may be the most likely scenario, but I wouldn't want the NFL to cast him aside and be like, look, man, we've given you four chances and that's
right.
It. Because I think
that might send him over the cliff. Who knows?
I would want that to be the case, obviously, and I don't know that the NFL can take responsibility for everybody's personal issues. I just simply think that it might be a missed opportunity for them to show they are a kinder, gentler NFL. You know, just before we got on the show, I was reading a story from the NFL about how they are getting involved with various charitable efforts, and they're appealing to Congress regarding appeals in the criminal justice system. So they're making an effort, Dane. A couple of years ago, it was perceived that they weren't. I think Goodell is, you could hammer Roger Goodell for a lot of things, but I think he's trying as hard as he can to bridge that gap between the players and the league. I have to give him credit for trying there. We'll be right back to discuss the games after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Yes, a merry holiday to you and yours. Ebenezer Scrooge here. No, I'm not here to tell you about the importance of the holiday season, I assure you. I'm here to tell you that during this festive time of the year, you cannot end up like my fantasy teams, quite dead, as Jacob Marley. But there is a chance at hope for you. Go to your nearest mobile telephone app store and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. For free, you get the help of many fantasy analysts with as much wisdom as the fantasy spirits of past, present, and yet to come. Download the app, listen to their words, and win fantasy matches so you can decrease your fantasy league's surplus population. If you want the merry feelings of the holiday season all year, then you must download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Otherwise, be forced to wear the fantasy chains of Fadia that you forged in life.
Little VH getting going for Christmas weekend. What's up, Bavona? good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, Daily Roto's great stuff. Want to be the next Daily Fantasy legend? Try DailyRoto.com for free this holiday season. That's right. Free advice from fantasy pros, free NBA DFS projections, free optimizer access, and free everything else you need to dominate Daily Fantasy basketball this holiday season. So stuff your stockings with cold, hard cash and get free access to Daily Roto with the promo code DRHOLIDAYS to access your free trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code DRHOLIDAYS with an S at the end. So,
are you all over the NBA, there. Blewett?
I have not been yet. It's okay. Funny because, you know, we're doing this and I'm right. So dialed football, in on the right. NFL. I do love the NBA. But for me, and probably like many people, Christmas Day is like tip off.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not like I'm.
I actually think that's when they should open the season, to be quite honest, but that's besides.
There's been momentum suggesting right. that they're going to do a shorter season.
A truncated,
but
yeah.
Any discussion to me that starts with, well, we're going to have the owners cut some.
The owners
games,
give up 15 of the gates? Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
I end the discussion. So right. They're not doing that. Right. If you can guarantee them the money back from the 15 home games or whatever it is.
Something
that
like
they
that,
cut.
Right.
Actually, it wouldn't be 15, really. Say they cut it from 82 to 65.
Okay, fine. Then it's like 8 or 9. I thought it was like 80 to 50, though. Because I remember the strike
shortened
season.
If they do that, then yeah. Then you're
when did
15.
The strike shortened season start? That was 50 games.
There was 99.
Right, that 99 one. Yeah, that's season. The one I meant. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think, did they start after
the
Christmas?
Were in the finals.
They sure were. Little Latrell Sprewell choking them out.
LJ.
Yeah. All right, but I digress. I was asking because I saw this real weird thing about Kyle Kuzma tweeting at NFL refs Twitter account and Kiki Vandeweghe being like, no, you can't do that. I thought it was real interesting, but we can get into it later.
What did he do? He's just criticizing so, a call no, or something?
Yeah, but the NBA ref account is like
oh, the NBA
sort of
ref.
Trolling.
He said NFL.
Excuse me, my bad. NBA refs on Twitter, they're like getting a little snarky and like calling out like announcers, be like, nah, they got this wrong, or being like, nah, you know. And Kyle Kuzma like kind of took something the NBA refs account said about him, retweeted it, and was just like, and literally retweeted with, can we get fined if we answer this account? And Kiki Vandeweghe was like warned him to like chill the F out.
Well, I don't know why. If it's an official NBA account, I don't think they should be snarky at all. I think you just
right. That's the thing. Then they just need to be boom, 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 like purely objective. This is the stat. Yeah. This is the rule. You know, this is rule 401.3 or whatever it is.
It needs to be clinical. It needs to be clinical.
Right.
It can't be.
But they're not.
You have a personality. So.
Right. And so there's one side like, hey, if someone's going to come at you, like in this country, you have the right to respond or defend yourself. But then you get into this idea of, you know. Going like, are you smack talking the refs, and what does that represent, and can you get fined, and blah blah blah. So you know, it's the wild wild west out there. So just wanted to.
All right, buddy. So we're week 16. We're doing our picks here. I am trailing Dane by like 3.5, basically.
3.5.
We are going to do week 17 picks. We'll probably have to do them offline
via Twitter or something like that.
Only because if Dane and I do any shows next week, it'll be Monday, and it'll be a little too early to dive into picks. And we still have a game that hasn't even played yet for week 16. So let's let you get started.
You
with
want me to give them
picks.
Out so you know how to
so that I don't pick yours, yeah.
All right, fine. I'll reel them off. Listen, Los Angeles Rams are a great team, Blewett. Okay, I'll give you that. But there's talk about, you know, the Todd Gurley, what will be his usage? Is he okay? That sort of stuff. The Rams offense, I think, has been different since they lost Cooper Kupp, right? And I kind of feel like this is a one that they're going to, you know, hop in, hop out, try to get a win, park the bus, and not really put much at risk. When I see a 14.5-point spread in a divisional matchup that's like a second matchup of the year for that division, and it is a home team in Arizona, and it's more than two touchdowns. I'm seeing it at 14.5 right now.
Which side are you looking at?
I'm on my bookie. I know, okay. Yeah. Because to be quite honest, when I went to FanDuel, there was like some schedule maintenance issues going on or whatever with the website. So I'm on my bookie.
They have it at 16. So
even better.
We'll do my bookie.
Even better. And here's the other thing. I'm also reminded of about a month ago, Arizona was a two-touchdown underdog going into Kansas City. And they kept that game close. So give me Arizona plus what I see as 14.5 against the Los Angeles Rams at home. That's my first pick,
okay.
Mike.
Okay, cool. I guess
second pick. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. My second pick is I'm taking the Chiefs. I have it at -2.5 in Seattle. What do you see?
That's exactly. I'm doing my bookie, so I'm with
you. All right, cool. So I'm at -2.5. I'm taking the Chiefs -2.5 at Seattle. Listen,
why is that?
I'll tell you why. There is one narrative where it's going to be tough to play up there, the 12. Seattle's a good team. Here's the way I believe, though. If at any point in this game the Chiefs get more than a one-score lead, it's over to me. I think that because Seattle runs the ball so much and all this, I don't know that the current Seahawks are equipped to come from behind against a team like Kansas City or be in any kind of shootout. Now, I know Seattle's really good at creating, in essence, a different game flow, Carson, the running game, that sort of stuff, but I just think Patty Mahomes and these Chiefs are explosive, and if they get a working margin, I don't see this run-heavy Seattle team as able to keep up. It's less than a field goal. If this was 3.5, it might be different, but at 2.5, I'm taking the Chiefs on the road. Remember, they got a lot to play for, and they may know. Like, imagine if the Chargers win Saturday night. The pressure is on the Chiefs to come on out there and do their thing. I think they will. Give me the Chiefs -2.5.
Yeah, you basically like them to win. So the 2.5.
It's less than the field goal.
Cool. All right.
Exactly. My last one. And, you know, I'm surprised. To be quite honest, I thought this team should have been a road favorite, and they are not. I think the Nick Foles story ends right now, this weekend. I don't think the magic continues. I think that the Houston Texans are just a better team. I think, in my DFS lineups, I have a Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins stack. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, season high in targets is, I think, 13 or 14. I would be willing to make a prop bet that he has his season high in targets this week. I think they're going to attack. I like Houston to win this game outright in Philadelphia and end the title defense of the defending champion Eagles. Give me the Houston Texans. I have it at +1.5. I don't care about the points. I think the Texans win in Philadelphia this week.
Okay. I think all of that makes sense. I see a lot of people building an argument for Philly, though. I've seen like articles and watching shows and stuff. I feel like people.
If you want to pick Philly, you could gain a game on me.
Hell no.
Oh,
hell
okay.
No.
Well, all right then.
No.
I will say
the
this: Alshon Jeffrey
Philly,
in my DFS
Philly's
lineup.
Got a legit pass rush, Dane.
They do. And they give up those sacks.
Deshaun Watson gets hit more than any other QB in the league. So
that is true. But tell me, who on Philly can defend DeAndre Hopkins?
Nobody. But they couldn't defend anybody. I didn't think they could defend anybody in the Rams, and they scored.
I guess that is true as well. I will say this. I have Alshon Jeffrey in my DFS lineup this week. I think he's a great value at only 6,300.
Who can defend DeAndre Hopkins, period? Forget
Philly. Good question.
Nobody.
I don't know. Deion Sanders?
Yeah, maybe. Prime time Deion.
Darrell Revis in
Rod
1998?
Woodson?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Sorry,
like
whatever.
1993, sure. Rod Woodson?
Right, Darrell Green? I don't know. Yeah. But I do like Jeffrey. I wanted to make that point in DFS. I think Nick Foles does have eyes for Alshon.
I think that's fair. My first pick, I'm a little worried because the Bears haven't been as good on the road this year. They lost at Green Bay, at Miami. They lost to the Giants, but I would say that three of the those three losses, the other their other loss was at home to the Patriots, for the record. But those losses were a combined, let's see, it was 1 point to the Packers when they blew a fourth quarter lead.
Right.
It was a field goal loss in overtime to Miami and a field goal loss to the Giants in overtime. So I got the Bears going up against the Niners, and I only have to lay 4 points. Give me the Bears. I think they have a tougher one next week in Minnesota, so they know they need to get this win to try to continue to position themselves. Now, when do the Rams – I'm trying to figure out timing-wise. Like, look, they're still in it against the Rams to try to get the 2 seed, so they can play it out this week. Next
Rams
week,
game is a 4 o'clock game.
So their game is at 4 o'clock as well. There's no like, they already right. won, so we can take it off. They're going to play to try to get that bye this week. So I'd like it better if it was 2.5, but it's 4. I'll take the Bears, even though they haven't played as well on the road. I think they can get that win. Their road wins this year, by the way, were at Buffalo 41-9, and they beat Detroit 23-16 a couple of weeks ago. So not as strong on the road, but nonetheless, we'll take that. Next one's going to be an over.
Ooh.
We'll take the over with the Steelers and the Saints. I know it's a high number, and I know their offenses both have not clicked as much as they have, but I think the Saints, coming off of their 3-game road trip, we'll get back and try to get things right against the Steelers secondary that isn't always that great. I thought the Pats played a really bad game the other day. Tons of penalties and put themselves in a bad position a couple of times. Brady with a horrendous interception. But I think we put up some points here. I can't pick against my Steelers, Dane, so I'm going to go with 53 is the total. So I think that could be the shootout that people want it to be.
You know what? Interestingly enough, check me, I may be wrong on this. Is there a there's a possibility, right, Blewett, that the Steelers wake up on Sunday morning out of the playoffs? If Baltimore wins Saturday night,
yeah,
they go ahead of Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, I think, is behind also like maybe Tennessee or Indy. They would be. Could they wake up on Sunday morning out of the playoffs? They're 8-5-1. Okay, no, they couldn't.
Their winning percentage is better than the Tennessee and the Colts. They'd still be a half game up on those teams.
I'll tell you what, in the same way, if the Chargers win that game Saturday night, boy, is there pressure on the Chiefs. If the Ravens win that game Saturday night, boy, is there pressure on the Steelers.
Hell yeah. It's going to go down to Week 17.
All right, so we got 2 of your picks. You're making 4 this week, correct?
I'll make a 4th one. If
all right, but we
got to
make a 3rd one first.
Yeah, let's make the 3rd one first. And those first 2 I felt pretty confident about. Now,
that's cool. Well, what if I told you, though, that Chicago pick? What if I told you that Scott at 12-27 on the season also picked the Bears -4?
Well, you know, what is it? Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
This is true. So, a broken clock is right twice a day.
He did win 12 times, so I'll be
sure. Just so you know, he also took Buffalo +13.5 and Indianapolis -9.
Too many points for the Patriots. I don't know. I actually do. If you made me pick that game, I think they cover. The Bills played them tight last time, but the Pats need to get things right.
That's
and I
right.
get the sense
this could
that
be their get right game. That's right.
This is the
get last
right
time
game.
They get to make their statement, the last hurrah kind of thing.
That's right. Let's just put this away. Put the division away.
They show people like, nah, we can still do
the
it.
Bills.
I agree.
It's just, you know, it's a
this
lot.
This has 38-14 written all over it to me.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't know. They haven't played well. So is there a chance for the Bills and Josh Allen to keep it close or do a backdoor cover or anything like that? The problem with them, really, the Bills, when you're going up against the Patriots, who, look, they did take Juju Smith-Schuster away last week.
Yeah.
So they did accomplish that goal defensively. The goal going up against the Bills, to me, is
spy
to
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah. Right? You just can't let him run all over the place.
Force him to beat you from the pocket.
Right. So Bob Foster, the college roommate discussion.
You said you saw him last night, huh? Did you thank
him? I did.
Him
I hung out on Wednesday night.
Did you thank him for any DFS glory or anything like that?
I told him that I've been mentioning him on the show on a nearly daily basis, and he thought it was really funny. So,
all right, so third pick.
All right, third pick. Oh, man, I wish this wasn't 4 points. But Miami, has been pretty good at home this year. Yeah, I know. Look, man, I'm trying to pick games that are different from you. I'm going deep here. I think I'll take the Miami Dolphins laying four against the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are checked out. You know, we always talk about good teams, bad teams. I wish Denver wasn't playing Oakland because I'd pick against Denver. But because we're hearing rumors now that Vance Joseph is imminently
gone. Hey, you were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, so I think that they're making a change there. I think if they lose to the Raiders, he's done. And I think if they beat the Raiders, they're just going to wait until Black Monday to do
Black
it.
Monday.
Which, as you detailed earlier this week, is on Christmas Eve. Or rather, New Year's Eve. So I'll take Miami laying four.
Okay.
These lines are sharp now, man. The NFL is.
I know.
Vegas is ridiculous.
After 16 weeks of 15 weeks of evidence.
Yeah.
You know, these they can hone on. And I was interested, maybe, you know, this idea of good team versus bad team. It is a division matchup, and it would be taking the road team. What about that Minnesota number? It's not a touchdown.
Divisional road games.
I know. I hear you. But Detroit really has Kenny Golladay and nothing else right now. And Stafford's banged up, too. I mean, I don't want to help you necessarily. I'm just giving you – that's one that I left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Along with the Indianapolis one.
Yeah. I keep coming back to the Colts. The Titans, it's just a little too much for me. They haven't proven to be a team that puts up a lot of points.
Right. I wouldn't give them 10 against anybody.
Like, I like the Titans' money line. But,
yeah, I agree. But I'm not giving them 10.
That's also minus 560. So
this game could be 13-6.
Yeah. And like the Titans could be in control the whole way and they win
absolutely.
By 7. You know what
I mean? The total on this one is what, 37?
Like they beat the Giants 17-0.
Right.
But it was
you could see something like that
for a while. So it was a tight game. So or seemingly tight game even though the Giants couldn't do anything offensively. I kind of want to pick against your Jets.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So wait a second. You're telling me that a banged up Aaron Rodgers and a depleted Packers with nothing to play for are going to go on the road and cover a field goal, a full field goal?
I just start to look at this time of year, like, and Marshall Falk, who I do the shows with on Sunday, has said this. He's like, once you see those U-Hauls outside.
That's right.
Those teams are in trouble. I think there's
and the Packers are one of those teams, though. The Packers are one
be.
Of those teams too, and they're on the road.
But it's a road trip, and I just feel like
okay.
It's a business trip.
A business trip.
When they're at home, I think there's distractions. They're like, all right, honey, let's get the U-Haul packed.
And the great nightlife over there in Green Bay.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, you are actually having those discussions about, all right, when are you leaving to go back?
Oh, like your wife is actually showing you Aruba versus Jamaica, that sort of thing?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That exact discussion. And, man, I need the Bengals to lose in a big way. The Browns are giving 9 points. When's the last time that happened, Dave?
I don't know. I do not know. Certainly not. Maybe not in this millennium. So what you doing? You taking the Packers or the Browns? What you doing? We made a whole segment for this, and somehow still, when the music starts, you're going to be rushing for your last pick somehow.
I know. It's just how I am. What do you want me to do?
I like it. I like it. I respect it.
All right. Look at that. The music. All right. I'm taking the Colts. Let's just do it.
All right. Colts. You got it. Indy minus nine.
I'll do my fourth pick after the break. How about that?
That was your fourth pick.
It was? Yes, it was.
We'll recap it on the other side.
I'll do a
fifth
pick. Yeah, we will. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The morning after.
I figured it out. The trophy is only $30, right?
Yeah, $30.
All right.
Yeah. So where's the rest of the money? Now, mind you, I paid a $50 entry fee.
Yeah.
Being that I was the new guy in the league, I paid a $50 entry fee. The rest of the league only paid $20 into the league.
That's even worse than that. That's even more maddening than the trophy story.
You gotta be kidding me, son. I gotta do it never give up on my lord.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
There's no doubt that this is going to be an awesome segment, Dave Martinez.
Yeah, like buddy.
That? You like that? A little old school Gwen right there.
Nice. No doubt.
Love it. Yeah. You got the game. You just got a gut feeling. No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. We were just using the MyBookie PC platform, but they have mobile betting platform now. So with the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. Yes, that's right,
$1,000. $1,000?
That's right, buddy. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So to recap my picks, and look, we've had a lot of fun with this. I'm not a handicapper. I don't take it all that seriously because I'm having fun with it. But here's my four picks. Steelers, Saints, over 53. Bears, -4 on the road. Miami, -4. That's at home, right?
Yep.
And the Colts, -9 at home. It's too many points, but the Giants.
And I'm taking the Chiefs, -2.5.
No, Odell again.
Yeah,
the Colts are coming off. Who was their game last week? They beat the Texans last week, right?
The Colts shut out the Cowboys.
That's right. They shut out the Cowboys coming off a big win. I think they got their momentum back.
Yeah.
After that shutout against the Jaguars.
And you're consistently picking teams still in the playoff race versus teams that are not.
That's right. And Dane and I always like to pick a home underdog because earlier in the year those guys did well. The home underdogs this week stink.
Nah, my Arizona +14.5, baby. I like it. I really do like that.
They're the worst team in football.
Yeah.
They're actually worse than the Raiders.
They might be.
I'm saying it could be a debate, but they might actually be worse than the Raiders. I'm just telling you about the teams. We got, here's the home dogs this week. Let's go down the line.
Sure.
We got the Panthers, who have lost six games in a row. Six in a row. They're playing the Falcons.
Well, before my eyes, we just had a line movement on mybookie.ag, by the way.
Okay.
Line just moved, literally, before my eyes. It's the Saturday night game. The Chargers were 4-point favorites in our last segment. They are now 4.5-point favorites.
Ah, the money on the Chargers.
Money coming in on Philip.
I think that's the hardest game to call this week, so that's why I avoided it. The other home dogs were the Jets.
Yeah.
Not great. They're playing Packers, who also not great. But
I agree.
The other one we got is the Hawks.
Carolina? No.
The Hawks are the only home dog that's a legit team.
A decent
and then
team,
we got the Raiders playing on Monday night. Man, Christmas Eve. Get excited, folks. Christmas Eve, you're wrapping presents for the kids. You're wrapping presents for your significant other. At 8:15, let's fire it up. A little Tessitore, Witten, and Booger.
Oh, sure.
Broncos, sure. Raiders. Get excited, folks.
Listen,
one
Louis,
team firing the coach, and they're the better team of the two.
That's true. I'm in two Super Bowls this week. Yeah. In one of them, I have the Denver defense, and one of them, I have a kicker in this game. And so I'm going to be, you know, watching this with bated breath as Santa comes down the chimney. Well, hopefully he's delivering me a championship.
Yeah. He won't be delivering me Jack because I got cleaned out last weekend. So these things happen. I got to take it. I got to take it year by year. It's a bad year. I think my 5-year run is pretty good. It's just not going to result in big, big money this year. Hopefully my over-under stuff comes through. If the Titans
you can always make prop bets, baby.
And the Bucks lose this weekend, I'm 4-0.
Nice.
My over-under calls.
That's awesome.
It does not mean that I'll win the competition, though, because there's another guy that has a chance to be 4-0. And then it's going to come down to tie.
It's like margin of record, yeah.
So I'm a big Browns fan this weekend because he has the Bengals. And I'm an even bigger Bills fan because if the Bills win their sixth game, he pushes.
Gotcha.
But I got to wait for week 17, I think, for the Bills to do that against
Miami. Oh, really?
They have Miami.
The Jets have the Patriots. Miami. Yeah.
You got that wires crossed there. Okay, so let's take a look at tomorrow night's games. You got Washington. Josh Johnson. It's amazing, right? They're still 7-7. It could not have gone worse for them, but they're actually still 7-7.
It's crazy.
They started off so well that they've lost. They're down to their fourth string quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they're playing the Titans to try and get to above 500. So you got here the Titans, who have obviously played better of late. They're 8-6. They're still pushing for a playoff spot here. We talked about this spread. It's a 10-point favorite for the Titans. The Derrick Henry thing, a little perplexing. He's 5 yards a carry on the season. He was absent from the game plan for a huge stretch of time. And then he's exploded and been the best running back in football for the last 2 weeks, certainly statistically, and he's running like crazy. Do you think it was part of a master plan for them to save Derrick Henry, or do you think that they just went to this out of necessity because they weren't as effective with Deion Lewis?
A little bit of both. I think their intent was that Deion Lewis would be their kind of guy, and he then proved to be, you know, less diminishing returns, shall we say, over the year. And then, listen, when the weather gets cold and the tundra freezes and all that stuff, you need to, you know, to break out an old Titans term, they got to go back to exotic smash mouth. And I think they've realized that Derrick Henry is the kind of back that, you know, is only more and more productive as the game goes on. You know, he wears on a defense, and it's not like this offense has been dynamic. You know, we've been waiting on Corey Davis now for 2 years. And so I think they realize that their best chance to win is to, you know, run Derrick Henry 30 times. Nobody wants to tackle that dude. And so, yes, I think you run Derrick Henry out there again. You know, he's got over 400 yards in his last 2 weeks. Does he, you know, get another 170? I don't think so, but he's definitely a starting running back for you in your fantasy championships. I think he's a solid RB2, and I do think he is now part of the way Tennessee wants to play.
Mariota's been much better at home. He's got a 90-plus quarterback rating in 5 of his past 6 there, and in his home games this season, he's had a rushing touchdown with 6 passing touchdowns, only 3 picks, and completing nearly 67% of his passes. I think Adrian Peterson, you know, he provided a lot of value all throughout the year. I think this isn't the game where he's going to provide any value at all.
17 carries for 31 yards kind of thing.
Yeah. Jamison Crowder, 133 receiving yards in his last 2. But, again, not somebody you really want to roll out there. Corey Davis is probably the biggest do-I-play-this-guy kind of player in this whole game. He's been really inconsistent for fantasy owners, I know, because I have Corey Davis. I think he's still a good player. I think the Titans, though, are still trying to get their legs under them regarding how this offense is supposed to look.
You know,
here's what I'll say about the Titans, Dane. Obviously, I've been frustrated with them at times during the year, but if they rip off this win tomorrow and then beat the Colts next week, that's a 10-6 team, and I would note that 2-point conversion in London against L.A., would have gotten them to 11-5. That's where I had them at the beginning of the year. They've played a lot of these ugly and tight games, but I have some confidence in the Titans for tomorrow night.
That's interesting. Yeah, I do too. I think Titans are going to win this game. I'm just not going to lay 10 points. You know what I mean? Because this is a 37, I think, is the total. And I think in lower total games, a big point spread means more. I think that, yes, Tennessee will win this game to get to, what would that be, 9-6? I think they are a contender. And I think that they are often overlooked. You know, you mentioned that London game. But on the flip side, they also had the crazy, you know, overtime win in Philly. You know, you never know how these things balance out. But I like the Titans to win this game, not to cover, and I like both fantasy defenses in this one.
Can I ask you a trivia question real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Before we go over to, and we're not going to have time for the other game, I don't think.
Okay. Which is a tough one.
Saquon Barkley has 82 receptions. He has an opportunity to become the all-time leader for rookies, running backs, and receptions. Who holds the record?
Receptions for a rookie running back. Wow.
2006.
Reggie Bush.
Number two. That's right.
Bang! I was thinking, I was going back and forth if it was going to be Reggie Bush or Christian McCaffrey was going to be my guesses. And I went Reggie Bush. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Nice. I'm hot this week, bro.
Yeah. McCaffrey, I think, had 80 catches last year. So Barkley's actually already passed
that. Cool.
McCaffrey going for, he's got 94 receptions right now. The all-time record for running backs is Matt Forte with 102. So McCaffrey in these next couple of weeks is going to be going for that record. I think he'll get it. So we'll do 30 seconds on the Chargers-Baltimore game. I think you could break it down a million different ways, but you're throwing Rivers out there. Lamar Jackson's been a boon for fantasy owners. Mel Gordon is out there. You like Gus Edwards this week or no?
I do, because the Chargers' pass defense and pass rush is great, but their run defense not as much. Interesting style makes fight kind of potential in this one.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, obviously. We talked about Keenan Allen and Mel Gordon. You have to put them out there if they're on the field. I don't know anything else he can say. We have no consistency from the Ravens wide receivers, so hopefully you're not playing any of those guys.
Gus Edwards, Lamar Super Bowls. Jackson.
So there you go. So that's it. My man, have a great Christmas weekend.
Too.
You and I may very well be on this show on Monday morning.
I would hope so.
I'll be on Lineup Lock Live and Fantasy Sports Today on Sunday with Marshall Falk, Corey Parson, Gabe Morenci, Scott Engel, Jim Day, all of us on those
good
two
luck,
shows.
Good luck, everybody.
So
win your leagues and win that cash.
Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.